Hello and welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's weekly personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. Over the next 3 months, students across India will set out to fulfill their dreams to acquire a foreign degree from universities in the US, Canada, UK and other countries. It is bound to be a hectic period for such students as they and their parents scramble to complete paperwork for traveling to and studying and living in their destination countries. To guide such students and also those who are planning to pursue education overseas in the medium to long term, we at Money Control have put together a special package of stories centered around overseas education. And in this special podcast, we'll be speaking to Arindam Sen Gupta, co-founder of EduFund, a SEBI-registered investment advisory firm that provides education counseling besides advice on investing for children's education overseas and applying for education loans. Arindam, welcome to Simply Save. It's great to have you on our show today.
Thank you, Preeti. Good afternoon and thank you for having me.
Thanks. So, Arindam, we are discussing education loans for students who intend to pursue studies overseas. So, can we start with the institutions, the lending institutions that sanction education loans for these students? So, as a student, how should I or how should my parents go about identifying the ideal or, let's say, a suitable lender?
Sure. So, I think the first part of your question, which are the institutes that are giving education loan, right? So I think there are many institutes now, fortunately, for Indian students. Obviously, a lot of these are banks, both state and private owned banks. On top of banks, now we also have a lot of NBFCs. And then a lot of fintechs have also become very active. So if you are an Indian student now planning to study abroad, you have many choices, which was not always the case. And most of them usually give you a loan that has some collateral, some cosigner. And usually a lot of them also seem to prefer people who are going for masters.
Right.
One, so remember, whenever you take a loan, ideally the tenure of the loan is for 5 to 8 years, right? So that means whoever you are getting the loan from and whatever is the amount, you are in that relationship for 5 to 8 years, right? Paying the loan back. So I think for me, a big way of understanding who I'm going to take the loan from or evaluating would be, number one, is there a prepayment option, right? Why? Because remember, student loans are often expensive, right? They're in India, we have loans which usually start from 10% plus, right? So if you can you prepay, is there a penalty? Number two, how much is the interest that is being charged on the loan, right? Is there any other cost or hidden charges other than the interest that you will be paid, right? When does the loan payment start? And what happens if you, and the last thing which is very important, is what happens if you cannot service the loan right away, right? I'll give you an example. Most of us are optimistic by nature, right? So when we take a loan, we always assume, ki, hey, I will finish my degree and I'll get a job, right? Now, imagine you are hoping this job will come after 2-3 years, right? While you're taking the loan today. We don't know the economic condition or the job market after 2-3 years, right? So you're shooting a dart in the dark.
Right.
What if the job market is not good after 3 years, right? What if you don't get a campus placement or even a placement, right? In 3 months after graduation, 6 months after graduation. And I've seen it happen, right? Then what happens? Right? Somebody has to service the loan, right?
Okay.
How does that equation work out then? So these are the things that people should evaluate before signing up for a loan, because as I mentioned at the beginning, loan is a long-term commitment. It's a decision you make today, but you are actually going to stay with it and pay for it or pay it off for 7-8 years. So it's a long-term commitment.
Right. You mentioned this 3 or 6 month period when you don't have to, when the EMIs don't start, and that should be one of the factors. So how is it to be evaluated?
Yes and no, because it also pushes out your, interest, right? I mean, or how much you have to pay back. So obviously, nobody is asking you to pay while you're a student, right? That, I think, a lot of institutes are pretty clear on that, which is good. But I mean, sometimes you just, as I coming back to the points, it is impossible whether you go to a top 10 university or a top 50 or a top 100. It is impossible to predict when you will get a job, right? Remember, no university makes that prediction, right? So what happens if you're in a bad job market, right? You come out, somebody, is your loan giver willing to give you a soft loan for 6 months, right? Do you have that 6 month window, right? Do you have an 8 month window? Are they willing to talk to you, right? These things do happen, especially because we are taking a loan thinking 3 saal baad naukri mil jayega, right?
Okay, now coming to step two, once you actually apply for the loan and the process starts, what is the typical procedure like? You did touch upon this briefly earlier, but if you could share details on how do lenders evaluate applicants' eligibility?
I think a big way of how lenders evaluate eligibility is they look at it from a risk perspective, right? Let's say somebody gives you a loan of 10 lakhs, right? Whoever gives you a loan of 10 lakhs, the biggest criteria they are looking for you to fulfill is that how will you pay back the 10 lakhs plus the interest on it, right? Now, there are two ways of going about it. They will ask you either for a collateral, right? You or your family. Somebody has to be a co-signer and somebody will have to be a, give a collateral. Most of the collateral that I have seen that Indian parents give usually is real estate, right? I mean, which is usually in the form of a house, apartment, something. Usually land cannot be a collateral. Banks refuse to accept land. More than this, there are some universities, some I have also noticed who will say, hey, don't worry, we will evaluate you. A lot of models where somebody will say, okay, if you don't have a collateral, that's fine. I'm really taking a bet on which university you are going into, right? So fundamentally, somebody will say, hey, boss, you're getting into Harvard. So I'm okay if you don't have a collateral, I'll give you a zero collateral loan because I assume that because Harvard is such a wonderful institute, aapko naukri mili jayega and you can pay me back, right? This is also a second model. However, the only problem with this model is, remember, it just comes down to the reputation and the ranking of the universities, right? And typically, banks or fintechs or NBFCs will prefer to do this with top 20, top 25, right? How much they will give out without a collateral. I mean, how many people actually get into these top 20 in India, right? Very few, right? I mean, if you are in that, it's okay. But what if you're in ranks number 42, right? You need a collateral there. So, yeah. So, to summarize, we have two models, which is the collateralized market and then which is the non-collateralized market, which kind of works if you have a very prestigious university giving you an offer letter.
Okay. So you already mentioned plots of land, which cannot be treated as collateral. This is something that Money Control has also covered earlier. But any other similar hiccups that students should be aware of?
Yeah, I think, see, education loan is one of the verticals that my company, EduFund, has, right? And the biggest hiccup that we see, right? People come, somehow the messaging that people get when they see an education loan, 95% people think, okay, as long as I have an admission letter, mujhe loan mil jayega, right?
Okay.
And they don't do anything. Then they come with an admission letter and they realize, oops, either my parents or in my family, the ITR return is too low, right? If you have ITR return of 5 lakh rupees, you're asking for a loan of 70 lakh, that match just doesn't add up, right?
Right.
If your family already has a big house loan, already a car loan, some other loan, you're asking for another loan, that math also won't add up, right? So these are the challenges that happen, right? And I think it comes down to messaging. Somehow, the messaging in the environment or the ecosystem is that aap admission letter leke aa jao, aapko loan mil jayega. But in reality, that is not the case. Hence, most people don't get a loan. That is the reality.
Okay.
A lot of people get a loan, but most people don't get a loan.
Okay. Then what is it that students can do to boost their chances of getting an overseas education loan or an education loan for overseas studies?
I think there are two things, right? One is, look, most of us, right, whether you're planning to study in India or study abroad, right? Right? It is a plan, right? It is part of a plan. So start getting ready for this 2 or 3 years before, right? You can't just decide overnight. This is not like buying something on an e-commerce site, right? Ki ichha hua maine khareed liya, right? It is not like that.
Right.
It's a lot, it's a serious investment. Why? Because you're going to study somewhere for 2, 3, 4 years, right? You're going to spend lakhs of money, whether it is your own or you're taking a loan. So it has to be something thought through. So make a plan 2, 3 years ago, right? Hey, do I really need a degree if you're going for master's, right? Will it really help me? Am I willing to take this much loan? Okay, for taking this much loan, these are the things that are needed. Between me and my family, do we have these documents, right? If you don't, and you have 2 years before, you're 2 years before, you can get ready in 2 years, right? But unfortunately, if you do this checklist 2 months before, you can't get ready, right? Either you have it or you don't have it, right? So it comes down to preparing for this journey, right? I see, what I see around is people will start preparing academically 3 years before, but they will start preparing financially 6 months before. That is the biggest mismatch, right? You're getting ready for your SATs 3 years before. You're getting ready for your GREs 2 years before, right? You're getting ready for your GMAT 2 years before, right? But why are you waiting till 3 months before for your financial readiness, right? Why?
Anything specific that they can do while applying for an overseas education loan to boost their chances, to increase their chances of getting a...
Just apply to multiple places, right? But Preeti, I think one thing that we need to fundamentally understand, look, people who give a loan, it's a business, right? You have to be a credit-worthy individual, right? If you are not credit-worthy on Monday morning, you are not going to become credit-worthy suddenly on Tuesday morning, right? For it, if loan is what you want to do. And you have to check, right? Okay, this is my family's ITR, these are the collaterals we have. So, itne ka hi loan milega mujhe, right? So, find a university which is in that, right? So, let's say you do your financial readiness and you realize, hey, I think 25 to 30 lakhs is a loan which we can get. The bank has indicated that. Then find a university which will cost you that much, right? Don't find a university which will cost a crore and now you need a loan of 80 lakhs, but your loan ability or ability to take a loan is only for 30 lakhs, right? It is about having realistic expectations. And that is where doing a financial checklist early on becomes very, very critical.
Any pitfalls that they should steer clear of while applying for a loan procedurally?
I think yes. So I think, look at it, right? When you're applying for a loan, right, that essentially means by the time you start looking for a loan, there are two things that have happened, right? Either you have already secured an admission or you're very close to securing an admission, right? And you're very excited, right? I have gone through this myself and I guess you're pretty excited ki okay, abhi main padhne ja raha hu, right? That's a very happy moment in your life. You're looking forward to the next journey or the step. A lot of times, you will overlook small details like, 13% ideally should, let's say the loan is now available at 13%, 14%, right? You'll say, are, kar lete, baad mein I will pay it out, right? You overlook these small things because the bigger moment is so big, right? Or the moment in front of you is so big, right? But remember, the devil lies in the detail, right? Because you are going to service that 13%, 12% loan for 7, 8 years, right? Make sure you read your loan documents. Make sure you do the math, right? On X lakh rupees, I am taking a loan that has Y percent interest. That means I will have to shell out this much 1,000 rupees every month. Does it look feasible after 3 years, right?
And at the time of repayment, any mistake that you've seen students making typically that they should avoid? for example, any default or delay in EMI payment that could affect their credit score and impact their future later?
I think a lot of people usually have good, what do you call, awareness, right? They don't default on purpose. I don't think, especially students default on purpose. Usually most defaults happen because when we were taking a loan, we had very unrealistic expectations, right? That is going back to the point I was making, right? If you take a loan, assuming ki naukri mil hi jayega, and what happens if the economy is bad, default is the natural course then, right? You don't have a job, someone's asking you to pay a loan, you will default. But I fundamentally don't think people default on purpose.
Okay. And finally, any final piece of advice for students who might be planning to apply for an education loan? And also, if you could elaborate on financial readiness that you mentioned, how should they start investing? When should they start investing for their future?
So I think one thing that I would really like people to know, right? The loan, right? While loan is available, loan can never be your first line of attack. Loan should never be and can never be. Every loan has to have the first part of it, which is a savings. So really work on your savings. If parents know that they intend to send you abroad after 10 years, after 5 years, after 6 years, right? Why not save today? Make savings your first line of attack, right? Then really figure out what is the best fit university, right? That should be your next line of attack. Ki kaha jana chahiye, kya padhna chahiye. If you can get a scholarship. So savings first, scholarship second, and third, after all of this, if you need something, if something is still left, that's the loan piece, right? But what I often see is people wait around till the last moment thinking, mujhe scholarship mil jayega, mujhe loan mil jayega, right?
Right.
Okay. Remember, both of these, scholarship and loan, both are things which you don't control. Why are you waiting for things that you don't control? Rather, savings and investing, these are things that you control. You control how much you save. You control where you can invest, right? So put a lot of focus on the savings and the investment part before you translate your journey into the loan part. Loan should only be a second line of attack.
All right, Arindam, thanks a lot for your time. Thanks a lot for all the insights.
Thank you.
I'm sure students and our readers will find the time useful. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
And with that, it's a wrap on this episode of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.